Good.
How is everybody doing today?
Great.
You know, one of the best things, I love a morning where everything just flows together. I love the song choices, they just fit right with my message this morning. I love what Alan had to share with communion. It just all comes together, and I just love Holy Spirit when He moves in our hearts that way. And we're paying attention. I love that. Well, how many of you like this picture? Isn't that an awesome picture? What are the thoughts? I want to give you words. What words come to mind when you see that picture?
Joy.
Delight.
Surprise.
Cold. Anything else?
Exuberance.
Life.
Childlike.
How many of you would just love to be running through this for Plymouth? Yeah. You thought it was what? You thought it was pollen. Yeah, you know, when we look at this picture, we first of all, we see the child. He isn't afraid. He may be a little bit excited, but there's joy, there's excitement, there's delight. You might even say he might be giddy. He's elated, there's pleasure in it, bliss. He's having a great time. He's not worried about, what if I get wet? He's not worried about, what if I catch a cold? He's not worried. He's childlike. Childlike, because he is a child. And we can go to this scripture, and I've chosen this scripture this morning. Well, here's my message. Enjoying the Lord. Enjoying the Lord. I loved what Alan shared at communion. Are we just after what we can get for? Are we enjoying Him? Are we having a relationship with Him? The scripture here that Jesus said, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. See, we sometimes don't understand what the kingdom is like. We see it as a solemn place. We see it as very quiet and holy. The kingdom of God is a party. It's a celebration. It's a place of joy, of excitement. And if you can't, if you're too afraid to get involved, if you're too afraid to run through the sprinkler, pardon me, I'm spitting and God breaks it. If you're too afraid to join in, you're not going to enter in. You know, there are times when, you know, when my youth group would meet and we'd be playing a game and there were kids who wouldn't enter in. They never got to experience the joy, they never got to experience the fun of it, because they wouldn't enter in, and that's the same here. It takes childlike enthusiasm to enter in the kingdom of God, and if you have to be holy enough to decide, you're not going to be able to enter in. It isn't that you aren't going to heaven, please don't hear that, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about experiencing God, enjoying the Lord.
Yeah, come on.
And that's where we are this morning, is talking about enjoying the Lord. You know what? Think about what was going on with the disciples just before Jesus said this. It's people were bringing their little ones to church. Hey, Sam and Rebecca, how many of you heard the little ones this morning?
Yeah.
How many are excited and celebratory because we heard them?
Yes.
They're here.
Yes.
We love it. So never let the enemy come or a religious person come and tell you, you should take them to ministry. No. They said, bring them. What are they hearing already at this age? We don't know. They're too young to understand. Their spirits are alive to God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so I'll challenge you this, is when you hear children, you thank the Lord and you rejoice. When we hear children, childlike faith. And so here are these disciples bringing these, or not the disciples, these parents bringing them to children, but the disciples following proper protocol. Jesus is too busy and too important. And what did Jesus say? Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom. Hey, stop. Stop. Disciples, stop doing this. Bring them to me. And he stands a child in the middle of them and says, look, this is what it's like. they're all, you know, it challenges our religious thinking sometimes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It challenges our religious thinking. Here's what religion thinks. Religion thinks you should be travailing and weeping before the Lord. It keeps you thinking you need to do something for the Lord. You need to keep serving Him. Well, let's put it the way Jesus informed His disciples. No longer do I call you servants. And that word servants is doulos, which means slaves. Because a servant doesn't know what his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. I'm just going to back it up for just a second. I'm going to read you the same verse out of the Passion Translation. Because it frames it the same way, but just, you know, we hear it a little differently. I never called you servants or slaves, because the master doesn't confide in his servants. And the servants don't always understand what the master is doing. But I call you my most intimate friends. For I reveal to you everything that I heard from the Father. And that word, most intimate friends, comes with the understanding of those cared for from the womb.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are Jesus' most intimate friends, and He has cared about you from the womb. And we know that King David says, while I was knit together in my mother's womb, you knew me. In the footnotes of the Passion Translation, it says, you are no more a friend of him. You are more than a friend to him. Let me get that right. For you were born again from the wound in the side. You were born again from what he did. Now, I want you to stop for a minute and think about a really close friend. You got a person in mind? For me, when I was doing this, as I'm preparing this, I started thinking about what makes a friend for me? What's a really close friend for me? Well, right off the bat, it's somebody I really enjoy hanging out with. I really enjoy them. And you know, we have lots of friends, but sometimes we have the best friend. And of course, for me, you guys all know, because I talk about her all the time, is my friend Becky. And she's the first person I call with just about anything. I hear a stupid joke, hey, call her up and hang out. Tell her the joke and then I hang up. And then she'll call me back and she'll just call me back laughing, right? We just, you know, do what? All kinds of things. We laugh together, we cry together, we share our dreams, we share our stupid ideas, and we share our great ideas, and we tell each other jokes. And you know, there's those funny little things that happen in your life. It's, oh, I've got to call Becky because she's going to understand this and she'll laugh. And so I call her and tell her, we'd laugh together. Nobody else would get it. But we see, we have shared experience together. And we laugh, and we just have a great relationship. And we're also good enough friends for this, that we can call each other out. Tell her that, you know, she needs to straighten up, or she can tell me you need to stop doing that. But that's out of line. And you know what? We're not offended. You might be offended for a second, but it's like, this person has the best in their heart towards me. They love me and have the best towards me. This is my best friend. And you know what else we share? We share the deep things of God. We share about those deep experiences. And I want to let you know, you can't always share some of those things with everybody, not even believers. So you have that friend who understands when you're talking. And we pray together. And we discuss the word together. And she's someone I can share that deep personal relationship I have with the Lord without it being judged. You know what? Jesus calls you His intimate friend. And all those things that I've just said is how He sees you and what He desires from you, what the Lord wants from you. He wants you to come in and enjoy His presence. Enjoy the friendship. He wants to reveal things to you. Sit and share in confidence stuff from God. His word, if you look, go into His word, He says it's full of joy and enjoying His presence. Everywhere you look, you can find that. But I'm going to start here. How many of you love treasure hunts? I, for when I was young, I loved treasure hunts and scavenger hunts and little car rallies where you got to go here and buy this. I love those things. Those are a blast. And so this morning, we're going to do a little treasure hunting in the Word. And I'm going to ask you right now to just set your heart to be intentional in enjoying the Lord as we look at His work. All right, be intentional. So here, what treasures are you going to find? Oh, this is just that part from the Passion Translation. Here, Psalm 16:11, it says, "You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand."
Yeah.
Hey!
Yeah.
What treasures are there for you right now? Take a look. Pull them out. Lord, you make known to me the paths of life. This isn't just, okay, the Lord makes known to me the paths of life. It's just like, you mean when I sit down and talk to you, we're going to have conversation. You're going to show me the paths of life. Wow. You fill me with joy in your presence. Isn't that a treasure?
Yeah.
Isn't that a treasure?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to put a little footnote in there. Remember Ralph's message? Anyhow. The eternal pleasures are at your right hand. What word in that sentence stands out to you? Eternal. You know what stands out for me? Pleasures.
Yeah.
Well, no, we need to stand to be.
No, there's pleasure in God. There's pleasant things in God.
Right now.
Right now, that's right. Look at this one, Isaiah. With joy, you will draw waters from the wells of salvation. How many of you are saved?
Yes.
You believed on Jesus, you're saved. You can go to the wells and draw from that idea of salvation. What's coming in that bucket? Childlike faith, childlike exuberance. What's coming up this time? Oh, what's he got for me? What's he got for me when I read about my salvation in him? Oh, you know, enjoy him. Enjoy him. The story of Nehemiah. It says, this is Nehemiah. He's telling the people, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. And send some to those who haven't been prepared. Or prepared nothing. Yeah. This day is holy to our Lord. Don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your... How many of you sang that this morning?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
The joy of the Lord. So let me give you a little understanding of what's happened in this story. The children of Israel who have been in exile for 70 years are coming home. And they're building the walls and they're building the temple in Jerusalem. And Ezra the priest has just... called a congregational meeting, and he's just read the word of the Lord to them. The commandments of Moses. And you know what they did? They fell on their faces and they started weeping because they realized how far away from God they'd been. Now don't forget that they've been gone 70 years, and some of these people have never been raised. They've been raised in a foreign land with foreign gods. And so they didn't even know the word of the Lord. But the response is, hey, go with joy. Get up out of the dust and enjoy choice food and sweet drink. Did we enjoy choice food and sweet drink with the Lord this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, the best. The best. He's the best. And he says, don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your... You see, when we stay in grief, and there are more times to mourn, but when we stay in grief, it saps our strength. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. I want you to think, and I'm not going to go there this morning, but in Matthew, where Jesus talks about the parables, three parables. There's a parable about a lost coin. Remember the little baby who lost the coin? There's also a sheep that wanders off, right? And we sang about that. He'll go after the one, right? He'll leave the 99 and go after the one. And then there's the parable of the lost son. How do all of those parables end? The kingdom of God is like this. How do they all end? Joy and celebration.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a party. When there is joy. There is a coming together and enjoying what the Lord has done, what has happened, the coming home. And even in this verse in Nehemiah, you guys, you've come home. You've come back to the Lord. It's time to celebrate. And are we living in the promised land? Are we living in the celebration of what Jesus has done? Yes, we are. And unless you become like a little child, and just enjoy. And just enjoy, amen? Let's go to Zephaniah. It says, the Lord your God, let's treasure hunt here, is with you. Is he with you?
Yeah.
We heard that last week. The anointing is with us, right? The mighty warrior who saves. Now listen to this. He will take great delight in you. Okay, that doesn't sound like a somber Lord who's sitting there. Behold, he takes delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you. Amen to that. What a treasure. What a treasure. And then it says, but will rejoice over you with singing. How many of you have ever stopped to let yourself understand the Lord is singing over you? What is his voice like? Have you ever just let the Lord sing over you? Let your spiritual ears be open to what he's singing. And let me tell you, he don't sing off key. He don't sing off key. But enjoy. Oh, Lord. Enjoy. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both the body and soul. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. Let's treasure hunt here. A joyful, cheerful heart, or our translations put it, a joyful heart or cheerful heart is medicine.
Yeah.
It's medicine. It brings healing to both body and soul. This is the Passion Translation. And the one who has a crushed heart struggles with sickness and depression. So we know where to pray. And guess what Jesus said in the temple one day when he was reading from Isaiah 61? He says, I've come to bind up the brokenhearted, right? But sometimes you know what we do? We get stuck in the image of the heart being bound and the bandages never come off and it's never healed. It's just bound up and held together. It needs to be taped together forever. No! He heals. He brings healing to that heart. And how does he bring healing to that heart? With joy. With joy. And not only that, where do we find the joy? Where do we find joy?
In the Lord.
In the Lord, in his presence. And where is his presence? Now I'm going to take you back to Ralph's message last week. I'm not even going to ask you to remember, just in case you don't. But Ralph shared last week that his title was, We Have What It Takes. You see, the Lord is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. He's right here. We don't have to go and get him. He's here with us. We are in Jesus, and we are in the Father, and the Holy Spirit is in us, and the Jesus in us. In fact, in John 14:20, it says, on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and that you are in me, and that I am in you. And if we're in Jesus, and he's in us, and he's in the Father, are we in the Father? Can you imagine? We're one. We're all together. There's a beautiful song that I heard last week. And if you have a computer and YouTube, I encourage you to go to it. It's called It's a Wonderful Dance. And Godfrey, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, is the author of it. And it talks about, it's a lovely little Celtic lilt, I put it that way, very simple. But it talks about being with the Father, and it's like a dance. We're with the Father, and with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit, and we're included in it. And we're dancing together. We're all one in this dance of life and the celebration of what Jesus has done. It's awesome. Anyhow, I encourage you. But again, we are in Jesus and he's in us and the Holy Spirit. We have that anointing. We are the anointed. John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't even enjoy apart from Jesus because he is the joy. He is our strength. We remain in him and he in us. We're apart. And you know, like the tree, the branch has to have the lifeblood flowing from the tree to it to live. And Jesus, that's what Jesus says. So stay, be apart. Remember who you are a part of, that you can enjoy the life of Jesus. We've just experienced that as we took communion. There's new life. There's a new life covenant in the blood. In Leviticus, it tells us that the life is in the blood. So when you took communion this morning, by faith, we recognize that we have received the blood life of Jesus, the same life that is in Jesus is in us. When we took the bread, we realized we received the healing that is in Jesus because we received Him. There's a scripture in Ruth where Ruth says to Naomi, "Your people are my people, your ways are my ways." And that's how it is with us and Jesus. His people are our people, and His ways are our ways. His life now lives in you. His strength is now your strength. His joy is now your joy. And we need to enjoy Him. We need to enjoy Him. If we are only coming to Him with our prayer requests, that's fine. But don't make it the only. And in fact, if we come to Him as a friend, as that close, intimate friend, and just share what's going on in our hearts. "Man, Jesus, I have a little burden in my heart for my kids because they're not following you. Oh, Lord, you know how heavy I felt." And the Lord says, "Yeah, but I got them in the palm of my hands. I know where they're going." And you go, "Yes, Lord, you do." And we say, "Their prodigals are coming home, though." "Yes, Lord, they are." And we can rejoice in what He's... And He takes us. He binds up that broken heart. He heals that brokenheartedness and brings us into a place of joy. We are in joy when we're in Him. You know what religion does? It creates fear of joy and a fear of enjoying. Jesus, He's talking to His disciples because He's just had another interaction with the Pharisees. I'm just going to just enjoy that picture there. He's had another interaction with the Pharisees, and in Matthew 11, 18 and 19, this is what Jesus says. He says, John, He's speaking of John the Baptist, came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, "He has a demon." There's religion for you. He says, "The Son of Man came," He's referring to Himself, "eating and drinking, and they said, He's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and a sinner. But wisdom is proven right by her deeds." And again, you couldn't win. You can't win with religion. You can't win. Religion, they'll tear you down. No matter whether you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing, nothing is good enough. So let's leave the religion behind and come and enjoy childlike faith. Doesn't worry about whether you're fasting or praying or eating. Do the things that you feel to do, but enjoy the Lord. Don't make it about being a servant and serving Him. Come with joyful expectation, joyful excitement. Enjoy Him. Delight in Him. Get giddy in Him. Be elated in Him. Find the pleasure that is in His right hand. What if you absolutely experienced ecstasy in Him? Bliss. And just simply childlike wonder. That's ours in Jesus. So I encourage you, enjoy the Lord and get lost in His presence. And who cares what the rest of the world thinks if you're running through the sprinkler just giggling your head off. Through the pouring out of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I hope you are feeling excited and exuberant and blessed. And Lord, I can't wait to get with you because there's joy in your presence. Amen. Why don't you stand and we'll pray. So Lord, we do come before you this morning. We are a blessed people. Lord, you said we can boldly come before you because we're your kids. And you enjoy us. And Lord, we want to enjoy you. Forgive us for where we have been religious in our thinking. And Lord, I thank you that it is for freedom's sake you've set us free to just enjoy everything about you. I pray over every person here this morning and those who will be watching later that they just feel a release into the joy of knowing you and enjoy you so much. Again, Lord, we thank you. We say thank you, Jesus, for what you've done that we can now enter in through your shed blood. Thank you, Lord. And we are so thankful for your presence in us, Holy Spirit, that you guide us and lead us and you bring us into that presence of joy. And again, we give you praise and glory In your precious and holy name, Lord, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Remember, you're his intimate friend. Amen.